Hey guys, welcome to The Adapt Effect. This is a podcast designed to give you an approachable take to help you grow in all things health, wellness, and fitness. I'm your host, Amber Dupree, and you're now listening to episode 5. On today's podcast, we're kind of going to talk about something completely different. It's actually exactly 1:59 in the morning, and I've just been really inspired lately by a lot of great minds, by a lot of great podcasts, by a lot of great friends, to kind of elaborate on something I've never really shined light on, and I've definitely never shined light on it in a platform like this. So here it goes. We're gonna jump right into it. So oftentimes if you follow me on social media, you'll hear me talk about competing. And when I talk about competing, you'll hear me talk about where I'm at now, and you'll hear me talk about maybe the rebound I went through, the mental health I went through afterwards. After the show, you'll hear me talk about, will I ever compete again, and all that good stuff. But you never hear me, or any other competitor for that matter, really elaborate on why they competed. And I think that this is something that if you're starting to compete, or if you're thinking about competing, I think that this is a topic you need to be brutally honest with yourself. And I think it's a topic that does need light shined on it. So we're gonna do it. We're just gonna go for it. All right, guys. So with competing, why did I start competing? Well, simply put, competing, changed my life. And I know that's a very bold statement. And normally I say the gym changed my life, but I think that that is generalized. And I think that what really saved me was competing. I think that competing was necessary for me for the moment in time in my life with all the things I was going through. I think that competing is what got me out of it. And I think that it came at the right time in my life. Now, when it comes to the buildup, right? So competing for me, that was like a pivot point in my life, I guess you could say. So growing up, I lost my father at a very young age. He passed away from, we'll call it an overdose, when I was 7. And I don't think it affected me when it happened, but it definitely affected me later in life. Not only that, but when I was growing up, I was also sexually abused by my stepfather's son. So as you can imagine, there was a lot of childhood trauma that goes into that. And there's a lot that's going through a young girl's head mentally, that goes with that as well. So growing up, I had a lot going on inside my head that I felt nobody could help me process. So anytime I did try to reach out for help or anything like that, I didn't get the answers I wanted, and I definitely didn't get the reactions I needed. And so that just caused me to really start to resent pretty much anyone and my family for that matter, really. And I just felt like I had nowhere to turn. I felt like I couldn't trust anyone, and I felt like I just wanted to constantly scream. Like, I just had so much resentment inside of my heart. And looking back, I definitely have a different approach and a different perspective, and I'm sure I'll go into that later on in this episode. But at that time, I just needed an outlet. And I needed an outlet that was so fucking extreme that I could not afford to be distracted. And that's when bodybuilding really came into the play for me. So, like I said, I was pretty young when my father passed. And I was even younger when he left. And I was pretty young when I was sexually abused. It happened when I was 7, and then again when I was 12. So I was young. I don't think I realized the magnitude of what happened to me as a child. I just kind of brushed it under the rug, and I, you know, definitely didn't cope with anything I was dealing with, and I definitely just pretty much brushed everything under the rug, and that was just my way. So when I hit like 15, 16, started dating, I very, very, very soon, very quickly found out that I kind of always needed a significant other. I always needed reassurance. I didn't have a father figure, and quite frankly, any guy I dated, you know, I mean, we were so young then, nobody's perfect then, you know what I mean? So I didn't have a father figure, and any guy I was involved with pretty much just like fucked up detrimentally, and it just really started to skew my perception of men. And it also really made me, it seemed like the worse people did to me, the more I craved that attention from a male figure. So when I was about 15, 16, started dating, you know, started getting into the dating scene. And up until I was about 21, I dated the same guy. And he's a great guy, definitely taught me a lot. Taught me how to stand up for myself, taught me how to believe in myself, you know, just installed these really great values in me. So I don't regret anything. But also, you know, we're at such a young age. Nothing's that serious, you know, mistakes happen. So unfortunately he did, you know, cheat on me, and that just kind of started this downward spiral of emotions, I guess you could say. So it was my first time, you know, really being alone, and I didn't have that someone I could really just depend on. And I've always viewed myself as a very independent person. But now looking back, I have always had these tendencies to kind of just lean on a male figure for whatever reasons of my past, right? So we all have childhood trauma. And looking back at my family, I think most of the women in my family do. So it's also just those generational cycles that you see and that you grow up with. They can very easily become your reality as well. So fast forward, I'm like 21 now. We're going through this pretty bad breakup, and because we dated for 6 years, and everything's just coming out at once, and I don't know what's going on with me, right? Like, I break up with this guy, and all of a sudden, for the first time since I was like 7, I start thinking of my real father, and then I start, you know, thinking about, wow, you know, these really traumatic events when I was a young girl happened to me, and why did they happen to me? You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with me? Why didn't I stick up for myself? Why didn't my mother stick up for me? Why? Poor me. Why? Right? So I really fell into this victim mentality. And I think people around me could start to notice. I think I really started, like, not crying out for help, but, you know, I guess in a sense I was, you know. I would reach out to family members and just, you know, bring up these like stories like over and over and over again, just to try to get a different reaction out of someone, just to try to have somebody feel the pain I felt. So I would tell these stories to like friends and family members who I was really close with. And it's only like 5 or 6 people who really know this story until now, which whoever listens to will know. But I just really started reaching out to family and really close friends just so people could feel my pain. And it was at that point when a really good friend of mine, my best friend, Katie, was just like, you know, I think you need an outlet, dude. Like, I think you need to completely submerge yourself into something bigger than you, something that can help you cope. So it was at that point in time when I decided to compete. I was already in the gym for a few years, so, you know, I had a little bit of muscle on me. Was I in a position to compete? No, but is any bikini competitor in a position to compete when they first start out? Probably not. And I know I just stumbled over my words like a lot. My bad. But so I decided to just jump in. I needed an outlet, and for me, this was it. Now, when I started to compete, I loved everything about it. I loved the structure. I loved going to the gym and working on myself. I remember I would sit in the mirror for, I shit you not, an hour sometimes. Sometimes 30 minutes to an hour, just looking at myself and literally just feeling so disgusted. Like, feeling like I can't wait to completely shed everything on me and to completely morph my body. Not only, it wasn't until like years later I learned that I wasn't really trying to morph my body. I was more so wanting to morph my thoughts, my mindset, my perceptions, kind of my mental health, I guess you could say. So that's exactly what I did. I would go to the gym for hours. I would tell my coach, hey, bump up my cardio. Hey, bump up my cardio. Bump up my cardio. You know, and he'd just be like, Amber, you don't really need to yet, but sure, like, if you really want to, if you feel it's necessary, you know, we can implement more. And he would just constantly reroute my training programs to add more cardio, because for me, when I did cardio, I remember I would just be on the Stairmaster, and I would just be, like, so lost, like, so deep in thought. And it was those cardio sessions, those early morning cardio sessions, that helped me figure out my thoughts, that helped me figure out what I was feeling. You know, at the time I wasn't in therapy, and I definitely should have been looking back, but I remember I would be on the Stairmaster and I'd be like, why am I so fucking enraged? Why am I so mad at literally the world right now? So I would ask myself these general questions. Okay, why am I so mad? Well, I'm mad because my stepbrother sexually abused me. Okay, well, why am I mad that he did that? Well, I'm mad he did that because he should have protected me. Well, why should he have protected me? Well, he should have protected me because I trusted him. Well, why did I trust him? And it would just go down and down and deeper until I realized that all of these reasons were just unmet expectations, and they really all came down to me, and they really all came down to how I'm choosing to react to a circumstance. So by that, I mean, I just actually heard these like crazy statistics. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but it's like people who grow up in a broken household of like alcohol abuse and drug abuse, it's like, don't quote me on this, but like 60 or 70% of them end up recreating those same cycles. And I realize now that was what I was trying to break. I was trying to push my addictive personality, because at the end of the day, that's what I have, is, I guess you could say, an addictive personality. I'm definitely addicted to the gym. So I was trying to push my addictive personality to something that could benefit me instead of pushing it to something that could potentially destroy me. And so I did, and I poured every inch, tear, sweat, blood into my first competition, did well, placed second next to this girl who was just phenomenal. And at that point is when the real work started. So competing, yeah, it taught me discipline, it taught me structure, it taught me, you know, a lot of really great lessons. But what competing really did for me was it taught me how to let go. And this is not a characteristic I've ever really had. I've always been the type of person to just stick it out, and that goes with anything. And I think that's why I've excelled with my fitness career, really, is because I put my head down, I shut up, and I do it. And that's why my coach loved me so much, was I just put my head down, I shut the hell up, and I did what I had to do. I didn't care what I had to do when I get home. I didn't care how much homework I had. I didn't care if I had a meal prep on my meals for the next day. I didn't complain. It's almost like I loved the torture. Like, I loved the training sessions, oh man, that did it for me. Like, just feeling like my body in pain and feeling like, wow, I'm literally breaking myself down right now to build myself back up. And throughout my prep, that was my entire mindset the whole freaking time. Like, I never lost sight of that mindset. And then it came time after that first competition to compete again, right? So this time it would have been a bigger stage, and with a bigger stage comes bigger risks. So my coach at the time definitely was, you know, having that conversation with me of anabolic steroids and just saying, hey, you know, this is what we're going to need to do to go to the next level. This is what I suggest, X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. And never pressured me with anything. Definitely never pressured me with anything. Always left the choice up to me. And I'm very thankful that he did that, because if I would have been pressured, who knows what decision I would have made. But when it comes to anabolic steroids, it largely comes down to risk versus reward, right? So for me, the risk wasn't worth the reward. I knew that, I mean, yeah, it would be cool to go pro, and I'm not saying I couldn't have done it natural. At the time, I probably didn't know I could, and I was pretty young. And yeah, but for me, it just wasn't worth the reward. And so I decided to step down from doing my second competition. And once I decided to step down from doing my competition, that's when my real growth started. So that was kind of like a pivot point for me, I guess, in my life, not only in my fitness career, but in my personal life, was kind of learning when enough is enough and learning when you need to face your shit. So, and after you learn when enough is enough and after you learn when to face your shit, that's when things get good. That's when you find the balance that I preached that I found. That's when you find the happiness that I preached that I found. That's when you find the mental stability that I talk about so much. That's when the good shit happens. But before the good shit happens, there's all these really, really shitty things that happen, right? So when I decided to not do my second competition, I definitely beat myself up for it for a while. But in the midst of beating myself up for it, I learned to walk away. I learned when enough was enough, and I learned sometimes it's not worth it. And this goes for so many things in life. I was still, you know, going through a different relationship now, but nonetheless, one that wasn't meeting my needs, I guess you could say. So I finally learned to not be dependent on not only an outlet such as like extreme training, because that was I was dependent on that for quite some time. But I learned not to be dependent on relationships either. And I learned to kind of be alone. And it taught me a lot. So it taught me to stop brushing my emotions out and brushing them under the rug. And it taught me to just face shit head on. So this time, after I competed and stepped down from my second show, that's when I really started to do the work. And people didn't see me for quite some time. My family didn't see me for almost 6-7 months after I did my show. My friends, you know, I lived with my best friend at the time, thank God. But I just did a lot of self-work. I did a lot of self-isolation, I guess you could say, too. And I really just invested time in facing what, I guess, essentially broke me down as a child. And as I started to do that, I really started to learn perspective. So I started to learn, okay, all these things happened to me, but maybe my mom wasn't there for me the way I wanted her to be, but did I ever take the time out to notice or to ask her about her childhood and why she dealt with it the way she did, why she chose to brush things under the rug instead of, you know, dealing with them head on? And it just kind of really opened my mind to realizing that perspective is reality, and no two people have the same perspective, right? So when it comes to bodybuilding, I ended up walking away, and when I walked away, and once I started to really deal with my shit, it then began to teach me that there's beauty in breaking yourself down because of what comes on the other side. So now I'm at a place where I definitely have found balance. I have definitely worked on my mental health, and this is not something that I did for 6 months, guys. This is not something that, oh, I competed and now I'm a stronger individual. No. This took me years and years and years and years and years of hard, intense work, right? Like super hard, intense work of really just facing why I felt so disgusted by myself and why I had such high expectations and why they were unmet, right? So why there was hurt with all these unmet expectations. And it wasn't until then that I found the balance and I, you know, learned, okay, I don't need to be so extreme when it comes to training. I can appreciate my body, love my body, love who I am, you know, and really respect myself and how far I've come, knowing I still have a very long journey ahead of me. But it brought me to this place of self-love that is like euphoric. Like, you can't explain it and you definitely can't fucking beat it, but it just brought me to this place of I don't need to beat the shit out of myself every single day in the gym to be happy with myself. And so I think that a lot of times people don't understand about bodybuilding is they start it or they get into it. And I'm not speaking for everyone, so just huge disclaimer, let me place that right there. But I think a lot of people get into bodybuilding, and I know because I've shared a lot of very personal stories with people, but a lot of people get into bodybuilding because they are coping with something traumatic. Like, they are really fighting these demons. And I think that we highlight and we just so shine so much light on bodybuilding and the physique that we attain and how great it is to be a bodybuilder and how amazing it is. But nobody's talking about these ugly truths. Nobody's talking about what it took on the beforehand, why they wanted to compete. And nobody's talking about what happened after they rebound, after they stepped off stage, after they binge ate or anything like that. Nobody's talking about these harsh topics. And I think that's why bodybuilding is so, like, on a pedestal right now. You know what I mean? Because all we're doing, it's just like Instagram. We're just highlighting these amazing moments. And for every amazing moment, there's hours and hours and hours of childhood traumas, you know, depressed states of tears, of pain. There's a lot of joy with the process too, don't get me wrong, but you have to understand that people who want to compete, something is itching at them deep, deep down, I truly believe, to make them want to do something that extreme. And now, like I said, I think that this goes for some of the population for bodybuilders. I don't think that it's every bodybuilder. Some of us are just narcissistic and some of us just love the sport. You know, so there's a variety of different reasons why people choose to do the sport. But I know for me, it was, I had to, in a sense, I guess, put myself through pain. I had to put myself through a lot of pain to know that I could, A, do it and withstand it, but also know that I could come out on the other side and make something of it. So what I mean by that is I knew after I competed, I knew right away that I wanted to help others, specifically females. I knew right away, I knew towards the last 4 weeks of my journey that No longer did I want my fitness journey to be a journey of me being selfish. And what I mean by that is, no longer did I want my fitness journey to be me just pouring in work to my own self, to just, bodybuilding is a very selfish sport. So I knew I didn't want to just spend hours a day working on myself. Those last 4 weeks of my contest prep, I knew that I wanted to start investing time in others. I knew I wanted people to start seeing this perspective and this concept I have of fitness and how it's okay to be completely broken down and it's okay to sit there and sit in it for a while. But at some point, you got to get the fuck up. At some point, you really have to dig deep and just let it hurt. Like, I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, and I don't know if it's just me because of the things I've gone through, but at a certain point in life, you have to break these generational cycles, and you have to let that shit hurt, face it, fight your demons, fight whatever you're going through, and get the fuck up. Like, that's really what you have to do, and I know that this sounds very insensitive, and it kind of sounds like tough love, but guys, it is 100% the truth, and I knew that's the message I wanted to get out to the world. I knew that I wanted to help young girls, you know, believe in themselves, to have this sense of self-love, to show themselves that they didn't, not only did they not need, you know, I don't want to say a guy, because, you know, that just sounds stupid, but they don't need these external forces to validate themselves. They don't need to spend hours in the gym because they hate themselves. What they need is to get to a place of balance, to get to a place of where they can love the process, to get to a place of, hey, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm happy with where I'm at because I'm working on myself a little bit each day. And I live by the saying, just be 1% better each day. That's all. You don't have to do one huge thing to get you to the place you want to be. You do one little thing every single day that's going to get you there. And that's largely what it comes down to. So now I'm on the side of the, I guess, where you can say the grass is greener, right? So now I've, you know, done therapy. I kind of restored my faith with God. I dug really deep into why I, you know, felt the way I did going through what I went through as a child. And now I'm at a place where I have balance and I have utter happiness. You know what I mean? And I really want people to understand that you're gonna go through shit in life. Everybody goes through shit in life. Every single one of us. There's somebody listening. There's probably a lot of you listening right now who you're hearing my story and you're just like, no, dude, like, shit, you should just listen to what I went through. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying this story as a poor me or a victim mentality or a, oh my God, this happened, because unfortunately it happens and it happens to a lot of us. But I'm saying it in the sense that I hope it gives some of you guys the sense to pick yourself up from wherever you're sitting right now and just start. Like, just start doing the work. I don't care if you don't know how to start working on yourself. I don't care if you don't know where to start working on yourself. I don't care if you don't have anyone to help you cope. Just start. Start by doing it on your own. Start finding those things that really help you mentally and get therapy. Go talk to a really close friend. Go talk to your coach, your trainer. Find somebody you can talk to about these things, or keep listening to podcasts like this. Do whatever you need to do to help you get to the other side. Because I think that a lot of people read these fitness coaches and these competitors post about how, oh, I found this balance. And I think a lot of you are saying, okay, yeah, bullshit, you're not really happy. Okay, bullshit, you're not really happy. Guys, I'm here to tell you that you do not have to live in misery. You didn't have to live a life to where you hate yourself. You didn't have to live a life to where you're pissed off about what happened to you. You don't have to live a life to where you're just like, poor me, this shit all happened and I can't get out of these cycles because my family's fucked up because X, Y, and Z happened. Guys, you can change that. I promise you. You can change that. All right, guys, I know that this episode got a little bit deep, but I think it's something, like I said, that does need light shined on it. And I'm totally okay with being, I guess, vulnerable, because I think that more people should be vulnerable. And I don't think that being vulnerable is weakness. I think it's definitely a strength. And I think that there's a lot of really beautiful things that can happen when people start to become vulnerable. I know just recently I listened to, you know, a podcast that really opened my eyes to how one story can affect people. And I know that his story really touched me. So it just kind of inspired me a little bit to, you know, I've never talked about this, but to talk about it a little bit. And who knows who I can help or inspire, or just, you never know who's watching and you never know who's listening. And you never know who needs to hear it. So yeah, but it also goes to show you that your perspectives and your mindsets change a lot as you grow up. So like I was saying, growing up, I resented my family. I'm definitely at a place now to where I can kind of understand their perspectives more. I can understand why it was hard for them to deal with it just as much as it was hard for me to deal with. I can understand a lot of things more clearly now. And I'm able to work through my emotions without them completely consuming me now as well. So I think that that's largely why I've been able to find such a good balance in the gym. I don't need to work out every day like I used to. I don't need to do an hour of cardio every day like I used to. I don't need to, you know, completely break myself down like I used to. And honestly, neither do you. So if you're in that vicious cycle right now of just, you know, physically trying to break yourself down, or just really trying to figure out how to cope with things, and if you're using the gym, that's great. And I just hope you realize that that means you're in the beginning stages of figuring your shit out. So keep going. Don't stop. Don't ever stop investing time in yourself. Don't ever stop working on yourself. The second you do stop, you're fucking up, man. You're largely fucking up. Even me right now, I'm still consistently working on growing. I still have bad days. I still have days where I miss my dad. I still have days where I think about what happened to me as a little girl. And those things never go away. And I'd be lying to you if I said they did. But I'm definitely at a place now to where, hey, look, I'm talking about it. And you know, if you would have asked me a year ago, 6 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago to talk about it, you would find me curled up in a fucking ball crying. And that's not helping anyone. So I strongly urge you guys to dig deep, to keep fighting, to keep pushing, and to just keep fucking going. So that pretty much sums up the show. I know it was a little bit deep. I apologize, guys. Hopefully I don't lose like a shit ton of followers for that. And if I do, then whatever. But yeah, I want to give a huge thank you to all of you that took the time out of your day to learn, grow, and adapt with me. For more of me, go ahead and follow my personal IG at Amber Alert Fitness, where I post daily workouts, health and fitness tips, post an occasional pup pic, and I just really express myself, kind of like I did here tonight. So guys, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We're now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, and Google Play. So leave a thumbs up if you like it. Leave a 5-star review if you like it. And if you don't, feel free to DM me. Let me know why. And I hope you guys all have a great day.